Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This is an encore episode of Ask Me Another.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hello. Hello, Jonathan. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. It's going pretty well. I have I have a small household complaint to share with you.
Oh, can't wait. This makes me feel better about my
life.
Right?
It's fun to hear other people complain about their households.
Exactly. I'm sure I'll relate.
Yes. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you or your husband wear reading glasses?
Yes. I should, but I refuse.
Oh, okay. Good.
It's a weird thing that I do.
Vanity? Out of vanity?
No, I'm just on the cusp. So It's just when I'm really tired, I'm like, oh, I should put on those glasses. But For the most part, I can get by. So I fight it, which I was told by my eye doctor is, he was like, oh, yeah, you can definitely fight it. You'll lose, but keep going.
Keep going.
So enjoy that.
As long as you can. I wear glasses all the time, so I don't have a reading glasses situation. But my wife wears contacts and wears reading glasses. And I think this is a common thing for everybody that I know who wears reading glasses, is that you get, because they're cheap and you're losing them all the time, you get like a dozen of them and you just scatter them around the house. And so when you're like, where are my glasses? All you need to do is take a quick 180 degree spin and look on a couple of surfaces, and chances are you will find a pair of glasses there. And then you put them on, and then you realize your glasses were on your head or whatever.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Well, you know how people have these fantasies of, while they're sleeping, you know, what their pets are up to, the secret lives, right? Wouldn't it be great if you put some cameras around your house and you just woke up in the middle of the night and your cat and your dog both have glasses on and they're just laughing?
Taking pictures of each other with your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Just saying, like, I can't see anything. I can't see anything.
Oh, your eyes are terrible. I can't see anything through yours.
How do these look, stupid? Or just putting them on. This is what my son does every time he puts on my husband's glasses. He puts them on and goes, I'm daddy. Look at me. I'm daddy. In a mocking voice. A five-year-old.
I can't imagine where he gets it. All right. So here's my suggestion. Why don't we now do our own impressions of professional public radio personalities and start our show and pretend it's a real show.
Okay, there's a first for everything. Here I go. Okay, check out this impression. We have a great show today. From Broadway and TV, we're joined by Jesse Tyler Ferguson. He played Mitchell Pritchett on the long-running comedy series Modern Family, and he'll tell us about his new side hustle, writing a cookbook. Also, comedians Samantha Reddy and Luke Moens will compete in a music parody that combines songs from the musical Grease with fun facts about the country Grease. And up first, we'll check back in with one of our favorite pairs of couple contestants. So let's do it. Nico Santos stars in the NBC comedy series Superstore about the employees at a Walmart-style big box store. Zeke Smith appears in the Netflix documentary Disclosure. Nico, Zeke, welcome back to Ask Me Another.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
We're so excited to be here.
Yeah. You know, the last time we spoke was May.
Yeah, May. That was in our old apartment.
Yeah.
We moved.
We bought a home.
Hey, congrats!
We are homeowners now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Congratulations. How many things have you had to fix?
All of them.
Right?
All of them. Yeah. We've all of our homeowner friends have told us, just wait, and you'll see the joys of homeownership. And we're like, oh, yes, you are correct.
We thought we were so slick. We got all of these inspections. We're like, we're going to be so smart. Yeah. We're going to get extra inspections. And we're like, yeah, we just have to fix two things when we move in. No, that was not accurate.
And Zeke, you in June, yeah, you were featured in this Netflix doc, Disclosure: Trans Lives on Screen, and talks about how transgender people have been represented and have seen themselves represented in TV and film and pop culture. But what I found interesting was also to learn that the director, Sam Fetter, he made a point to also hire as many trans people for the production staff as possible.
Almost the entire crew was trans. And if there was a department where we couldn't find a qualified trans crew member, then we hired a cis crew member, and we hired trans people who were like in the pipeline to sort of mentor and apprentice under them so that they could then, you know, fill the position as, you know, head of sound or what have you.
Right. And also, you know, I guess... And also, in the entertainment industry at a different position.
Exactly. Have like a really cool credit. We did not get shortlisted for an Oscar, which I'm a little salty about. But, you know, yeah. Life moves on.
Yeah. Oscar's yep. So cis.
It's true.
Yeah. Nico, I mean, you can't argue with 6 seasons of Superstore. You can't argue with that.
6 seasons. Yeah. All coming to an end.
I know, coming to an end. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. But I will say, I feel like this sitcom attempted to do something that most people probably think was not possible, which was to place it in 2020.
Oh, but that's what I love about our show is that, you know, even pre-pandemic, we really leaned into, you know, issues that affect American people and the working class and everyday Americans. So, you know, we would be doing a disservice and if we didn't honor these workers that we were portraying, who are now have become essential and frontline workers.
Was it a lot harder or a lot easier to do so many scenes with a mask on?
Yeah. The good thing about the masks, actually, is that if you mess up a line...
Right, it
doesn't matter at all.
You know, we've come to discover this is how they do it in medical shows, that apparently certain actors in certain medical shows who want to diva up when they're doing the surgery scenes, they're just like, we're just going to, you know, re-record these lines or ADR them.
So you say medical.
So they just say medical. Because the hospital explodes. But yeah, medical.
Yeah. Grenade in the hand. Yeah.
Medical. All right. We have a couple great games for you. So your first game is an audio quiz called Power Ups. We're going to play you the catchphrase that a superhero yells when they transform into a different form. And you're just going to identify the hero or heroes.
Okay.
And you are going to be working together in this one.
Great.
Okay.
Good, because this is Nico's category.
Okay. No pressure.
Well, you know, there's something for everyone in this one, Zeke. There's something for everyone. Okay, here's your first one from a Princess of Power.
She-Ra.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, no hesitation.
Listen, yep. I know this well because when I was a young lad.
A young homosexual.
And our family had visited the United States for the first time back in the 80s. There was a Starburst She-Ra doll at KB Toy Stores that I just needed to have. And apparently I proceeded to throw a mega tantrum in the store and just started screaming on the top of my lungs, "I want Starburst She-Ra!" And my mom was just like, didn't know what to do. My dad was just like, what is this boy going on about? And they relented because I wouldn't stop screaming. And I had to brush my teeth that night. That was the deal. Brush your teeth that night, you get the She-Ra doll. I'm like, done.
That's it?
You want some flossing to go along
exactly.
With it? I'll scrub my tongue.
You want me to water pick, Dad? I will.
All right, here is another one. This is from an extraterrestrial brother and sister named Zan and Jaina.
Shape of an eagle.
Form of water.
They're the Wonder Twins from the Justice League.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
He always had to be like some sort of like water or ice thing.
There were just strangely buckets were included with the transformation.
Yes. And I was like, I mean, that's the power? Just ice? You're ice maker? Okay.
I remember one time he turned himself into a gelatin dessert.
Oh.
Even at the time, I thought it was hilarious. And I was hook, I was hook, line, and sinker. I love that show. But I was like, come on, gelatin dessert.
Okay, here's your next one from a super robot who knows how to bring a team together.
Form feet and legs. Form arms and body. And I'll form the head.
Nico is basically mouthing and doing the action, so he has no idea. No idea.
The brightest smile on his face, transported back to childhood. I think I actually, I can, through context clues, Transformers?
No.
I mean, it's you're in the right territory. It's
Nico just gave me a very disappointed
look. I was like, Voltron.
Voltron.
Voltron. Defenders of the universe.
Okay, here's your next one, although this is not Ryan Reynolds' voice.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
The Green Lantern?
Yes!
Oh my god!
Zeke, you got one!
Yeah!
I'm a big roller coaster fan. I have a, I have like the annual pass to Six Flags.
Yeah.
And there was a Green Lantern roller coaster there. I think they like demolished it because it was the worst roller coaster ever. Like it was like four people and you were back to back and you were on this like round disc thing. And as you went around the track, your disc would spin, but it was, you know, based on the laws of physics, which meant if there were two big heavy guys on the other side of the disc, then they would always be down and you would always be up. And it was it was not fun if it was not real. So,
but you remember it and you went on it. And guess what? It helped you today.
It helped, that's why.
So there you go.
That's why I suffered today.
It led us to this moment. Moment.
It was your destiny to get that question correct. And you had to suffer to do it.
You did fantastic. Well done. You know your transformations.
Very impressive.
We'll have more with Nico Santos and Zeke Smith after the break, and later from Modern Family, actor Jesse Tyler Ferguson plays a game about New Mexico. Fun fact, New Mexico is the newest of the four U.S. states that starts with the word new. But can you name which new state was the first to join the Union? The answer is coming up after the break.
Oh, man, it's a cliffhanger.
That's right. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Nearly 7,000 unsigned artists entered the Tiny Desk Contest this year. The judges picked one winner to perform behind the tiny desk at NPR's headquarters. And now NPR Music is teaming up with NPR member stations to take the show across the country. Join the fun as the winner travels to 10 cities this summer, including Los Angeles, Brooklyn, and Chicago, for one-of-a-kind concerts with Tiny Desk Contest artists from each location. Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to meet the winner and buy tickets. Then check out the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and the answer is New Jersey. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Interesting. Thank you, Jonathan. We're playing games with returning couple contestants from NBC's Superstore actor Nico Santos and from the documentary Disclosure, Zeke Smith. Are you guys ready for another one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we're going to play one of our favorite games. It's called This, That, or the Other. And here's how it works. We're going to give you the name of something, and you just have to tell us which of the following three categories this thing is. Jonathan, what are today's categories?
Today's categories are bath and body work scents, like sunshine and lemons, meal delivery kit services, like Sunbasket, and famous still life paintings, like Basket of Fruit. And of course, still life paintings depict inanimate objects.
Okay.
You're going to be competing in this one, so Zeke, you're going to go first.
Okay. All right.
So here you go. Bow ties and bourbon.
Boo. Two of my favorite things. I'm going to go with Bath and Body Works scent. Sort of Bath and Body Works boys. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, it's a candle scent that is inside. I love this. It's inspired by winding down with a cocktail before bedtime.
Because I put on my nighttime bow tie just before go to bed with my bourbon cocktail.
Just take a shot of bourbon every time right before bed. Here we go. Good night, everybody.
I'm out.
Well, it's time for me to put on my tie and have a drink.
Dad, is that you?
Okay, Nico.
Yes.
Sandwich and soda. Is it a Bath and Body Works scent, a meal kit, or a still life?
I'm going to say still life.
Yeah, you are correct. It is a still life. It is a print done on plastic from Roy Lichtenstein.
Oh.
Lichtenstein.
We like him.
Classic.
Yep.
We like him.
He's okay.
He's okay.
He's fine. All right, Zeke. Mound of butter.
Oh, well, it sounds delightful, whatever it is.
Yeah. It's called breakfast.
Yeah, it's what I put in my coffee. I'm gonna go
so keto.
Oh, you don't even know. I'm gonna go still life.
Yes, you are correct. That's right. It's a late 19th century painting of a get this mound of butter.
Oh, we should buy it.
And it's from a French realist painter, Antoine Volant. Antoine Volant. Yep. Some people say it's a bit much.
All I know is that we've got a print of a Pop-Tart, and I think they could go. They could look really nice together.
That would be, yes, that would be.
Butter and Pop-Tart?
Butter and Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh.
What is happening? Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Oh, this is exciting.
That's great.
Okay. That sounds like an alarm of some kind.
Yeah. One second, please.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
The joys of home ownership. Just one moment.
I'm just... well, if we just see smoke, we'll end the recording.
Does sound like a smoke alarm of some kind. I hope their house is not on fire because that would be bad.
Yeah, I like their backsplash.
Yeah, you're right. It is a nice-looking kitchen. That is a nice-looking kitchen.
What even happened?
Are you guys okay?
Everything all right?
Is everything okay?
Yeah, we're fine. We just have these problems with our smoke detectors. They just...
They go off.
Typically, there's a reason they go off. It's like when we're cooking, we don't open up all the doors and sort of the smoke is trapped. But this was just a phantom fire alarm.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Mysterious.
It's totally fine, and maybe it's just because these games are hot.
It's getting
that's probably what it is.
Spicy.
That's because you guys are on fire.
That's right.
Nico.
Yes.
There's one more left, and it's for you.
Okay.
Pepper leaf. Bath and Body Works scent, meal kit, or still life?
Bath and Body Works scent.
It would make an interesting scent, but it is not. It is a meal kit. It's an Australian meal kit service.
Oh, pepper leaf.
if there was a reason and a way that we could, you know, really show you that you just received all the points that are possible.
Yeah.
So I will just verbally tell you, you have received all the points.
Yes.
collectively.
It's all worth it for having that little snafu. We're so sorry.
No, no, it's fine.
Please. Thank you for coming back. You could have just been like, we're done. So just
so sorry,
you know.
Our house is on fire. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Bye. Nico Santos, Zeke Smith, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Nico stars in Superstore Thursdays on NBC, and Zeke appears in the documentary Disclosure, streaming on Netflix. Our next two contestants are comedians Samantha Ruddy and Luke Moans. Welcome to Ask Me Another. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hello to both of you. Now, Samantha, am I right? I think in April, I just saw this on your Instagram, that in April you had moved in with your girlfriend's employers. Basically,
yes.
She is a nanny, and in order to allow her to keep working, you all moved in together.
Yes, we did do that.
That must have been a bit of a, I'm going to say a trip. That's the
it
word
was
I'm going to
use.
It
was a trip. I love those kids so much. I have one of their artwork behind me.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, my little friend Toby drew a picture of him, his brother, and my girlfriend.
That's really nice. And it's in your background.
Yeah, his mom's a huge NPR fan, so.
Ah,
nice.
That's awesome.
I asked Samantha to hang some of my artwork, and she declined.
I said no.
Luke, you know, your girlfriend, speaking of people that we are partnered up with, your girlfriend was a former contestant.
An alumnus.
On this, she's an alumnus. Yes, Alyssa Limperis.
That's right.
Was on, I think, like back in May or something like that.
Yes, sometime in the haze of the past year.
Yeah.
She was on.
Did she give you some pointers? Any tips? Tips of the trade?
She said, stay alert, and here's what she said. She said, stay alert, stay on your toes. I am more of a trivia person than her. I sort of do the trivia in the relationship, and she is probably better at everything else. So, so she said, basically, just go be you.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel strong vibes that this is going to be perfect for you.
Yeah.
Want to do some games? See what happens?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yes.
Okay. So we have a word game for you. In this one, Jonathan and I are going to read sentences containing a bunch of different definitions for the same word. You just have to tell us the word.
So if I said, I'm going to an elegant dance wearing a giant sphere-shaped dress, you would answer, ball. Since a ball is an elegant dance and a sphere.
Right. You're going to be competing, playing against each other.
You turned us against each other.
Better at trivia, and I'm much better at everything else. So that's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's all going to be great. Okay, Samantha, this first one's for you. Super, super, like, it's a nice, easy slide into the first one.
All right.
Officer, I swear I don't know how the bottom of this tree and elephant trunk ended up in the butt of my car. I think I just totally said that wrong. Anyways, I'm going to say it again. Don't listen to what I just said.
Okay, I'll forget it.
Erase it. Here we go. Samantha, officer, I swear I don't know how the bottom of this tree and elephant nose ended up in the butt of my car.
Trunk.
You were like, how many other words could there be?
I was like, tusk.
I was so confused.
I love it when I say, this first one's going to be easy, and then I just hand you the answer to make it harder.
I was like, is the answer in the question?
We'll say a word, and then you say that word. That's
the
game.
You've got to figure out what word in the question is the one we're thinking of.
That's right. All right, Luke, here is one for you. Can't wait until the snow melts. I'm going to jump out of bed, push a slinky down the stairs, and do a keg stand on a natural water source.
Spring,
yes, that is correct.
And I was personally, because I purchased a slinky for my son, but it's made out of plastic.
Oh, yeah, the plastic ones.
Now, honestly, the next part was we have to get stairs.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's really a stairs toy.
For your third birthday, a slinky. For your fourth birthday, a second floor. Well, yeah.
felt so dumb about that. All right, Samantha, hard-hitting question for you.
Okay.
It's hard to sit still on this seat without a back on it because I really need to go number two.
Stool.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Correct.
I love the gravity with which you guys navigated that question and answer. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I try to take everything seriously, even if it is a poop reference.
Even if it's about poop?
Yeah. That's it. There's nothing more that needs to be said after that. It is perfect.
That doesn't bring up any stories, anything anybody wants to talk about?
Yes, I'd like to talk about poop for a little while in VR.
That reminds me.
Yeah, I was told we're not allowed to swear, but I do have a 25-minute story.
Yes.
Welcome to Colon Corner.
Yes.
Colon Corner.
The segment we're starting as contestants. As one-time contestants on the show.
It's like Car Talk.
Yeah, it's like Car Talk, but about poop. That's actually not a terrible idea for a podcast.
Great idea.
Yeah.
You can have that NPR.
It's more of an APM kind of thing. Okay. All right, this is for you, Luke. My favorite Pokemon trainer let his Charizard's tail get too close to a tree indigenous to the Northern Hemisphere, and it burnt down to cinders.
Ash!
Ash, yes, exactly.
Yes.
I was laughing because halfway through that sentence, I had that feeling again where I was like, what am I talking about?
You never got into the Pokemon, Jonathan Colton?
No, I was never into the Pokemon, even Pokemon Go, because I saw people wandering around, endangering their lives, walking into traffic while looking at their phones. And I know how I am with games, and I was like, if I start doing this, I'm going to be hit by a car in a matter of minutes, so I better not.
Yeah, I had a near-death experience playing Pokemon Go, so now I'm a Digimon person.
Yeah, that's much safer. That's much safer.
Thank you. I'm glad. Near-death experience, you just almost walked into traffic?
Oh, yeah. Gotta get that Charmander.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the car. It was crazy.
Yeah. How'd you get in?
He was driving the car.
That's what they should do. They should put Pokemon into cars so you actually have to flag somebody down and get them to stop.
You have to hail a taxi.
There he is. Great game. You both did. You slayed that game. Wonderful.
Thank you.
We're playing games with Samantha Ruddy and Luke Moans. Are you ready for another one?
Yeah.
Yes, big time.
Okay, good news. You're going to work together on this one.
Yes.
Wow.
So Jonathan Colton is going to sing you the clues in this next game called Getting Greasy.
I'm so excited.
We have changed the lyrics to songs from the musical Grease to make them about things associated with the country of Greece. So you'll be working together. Just tell me what I'm singing about or the title of the song that I'm parodying.
Got it.
Okay, here we go. But now all tyrants should hide, 'cause the people will decide and majority rules. Everyone is voting, it's true. Everyone is voting.
Okay, well, that was beautiful.
I honestly am emotional.
I'm crying. You can't see because it's the radio, but I'm bawling.
Power of music.
Wow.
Is that hopelessly devoted to democracy?
That is exactly right. Yeah, hopelessly devoted to you is the song, and that was about democracy. Here we go. Here's another one. I'm a princess warrior too. Fight for good, for me that is new. I spun off from Hercules, loosely based in fake ancient Greece. Rep restored and great with a sword. I'm in love with Gal Pal Gabrielle.
I know this.
Well, go ahead.
As a lesbian, I do feel a strong passion about what was just sung. I have watched a lot of it. it's Summer Lovin' about Xena.
Yeah, that's right. Technically, this song is called Summer Nights. I just have to say that so we don't get letters.
We do get letters.
If you want to send a letter, You can send it to me because I'm lonely.
Yes.
All letters, please send them to someone. Yeah. Just DM you, right? Just slip into your
hate
DMs
mail. I don't care what it is. Give me it. I need interaction.
All right, here's another one of these.
I'm digging one of these because I'm sweaty from this morning run. Setting it to pause because it makes my bathing extra fun. I use a Posh Lime body wash and a loofah.
Oh, did the Greeks invent the shower?
You are correct. The answer is shower. And it's not clear that they invented showers, but certainly among civilizations, they were of the earliest to have stand-up bathing situations.
They were fountains. They were just in fountains, let's be honest.
Yeah, they really
aren't all showers.
Their own.
And then I my guess for the song would be Greased Lightning. Greased
that is
lightning.
Correct.
Yeah. That's right.
What a scene from that movie.
Yeah, true. Okay, here's another one.
Angles and curves and intersecting lines. I know each formula and the shape it defines. Triangles, circles, squares, and trapezoids make up the world you see. You just cannot avoid this branch of math.
So it's about geometry.
Mm. It is about geometry, correct?
And I think it's the song just called like Greece?
Yes.
Greece, that is correct.
Yes.
Great pull.
Greece is the word. Thank you.
That's correct.
Greece is the word.
And I think they wrote this for the movie, right? I don't think
it
appeared
wasn't in the original.
In the musical, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say that would be really funny if it was just a song that already existed.
Yeah. Hey, this we can do Greece is the word.
We'll use this one.
We spent all our money on cigarettes and 45-year-old actors. We need a song.
We got a lot riding on the Grease song, everyone. Please, nail it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and my producer is telling me the Bee Gees actually wrote that song specifically for the film.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
But sung by Frankie Valli, I believe.
Wow.
It's a all real right. trip.
It is a real trip. That movie is it has some strange messages in it.
You have to change yourself for the person you love.
That's
otherwise,
right.
they won't love yeah. you. And that's what I learned from Greece.
And you can go to high school forever.
You can go to high school till you're 70.
Yes. Doesn't matter how old you are. Just
that's
stay
right.
there.
That was great. You guys sailed through the music game as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Two great games. So smart. Did it all. Thank you, comedians Samantha Reddy and Luke Moans. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up, I'll talk to Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family. On that show, characters look directly into the camera and then they say what's on their minds. We used to call that a mockumentary, but now we call that every day. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. Today's special guest was in the original Broadway cast of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. He played Mitchell Pritchett on the comedy series Modern Family, and now He's a cookbook author. His new book, Food Between Friends, is written with chef Julie Tanous, and it's out on March 9th. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, hello.
Hello.
I will admit that, you know, we do a little light social media stalking of our guests. And one thing that really stuck out to us was your childhood bedroom with this amazing floor-to-ceiling, it looked like Les Mis wallpaper?
Yeah. Yeah, it was basically I don't know, maybe it was in a subway system at one point.
Yes!
And then also to sort of offset that, I had sheet music wallpaper that went halfway up the wall. And then, you know, you would finish it off with a border.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the border was piano keys. So sheet music wallpaper, and then piano key border. I think there's a Beauty and the Beast calendar. There's probably a Patti LuPone, it's a Vita poster somewhere in that photo too. You could see what my interests were.
Suffice to say, you may have liked some musical theater.
But honestly, like when my parents were shocked that I was gay, I'm like, you guys, I mean, look at this room that you helped me design.
So, of course, people know you from Modern Family. And in the very first episode, you and your character's husband bring home their newly adopted daughter. I can't imagine, so I'd love to hear 11 seasons of playing the same character. You grow. You watch the kids on the show grow. What was that like?
Yeah, it's astonishing. You know, as an actor, you are used to constantly being laid off and having to look for the next job. That's just part of the business. Like, truly, it's, you know, job security is not anything any actor ever has.
Right.
So to have a show that lasted as long as it did is just to, you know, be able to go to the same place every day for 11 years was a treat. And, you know, it's just such a joy to play the arc of someone's life over the course of 11 years. It's just, it's a blessing.
And over, you know, so many years, you probably got asked very different questions in, like, press interviews about the show from, you know, the first season to the last.
Yeah. The question, the cast would always joke, in our first season of the show, we did a ton of press, and every single interviewer asked, so what makes a Modern Family modern? And we all just were like, I hate this question. And I think we were all at a press junket together. And one of us said, if the first question is what makes a Modern Family modern, we're walking out. And they were like, that actually was my first question. So they.
And at the end where they were like, what makes Modern Family a successful television show?
Yeah. Well, truly. On our 11th season, everyone was like, did you know it would become such a hit? And so that was the question that we answered a lot. Yeah.
But speaking of family, you welcomed a son 7 years ago. Oh, sorry, 7 months ago. 7 months ago. Is
it feels like it's been 7 years because of this quarantine.
I could only imagine.
It's a lot of work. The first year's a lot of work for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, were you reminiscing any of the similar things?
There were certain things. I just remember when I was doing Modern Family, having to carry the actresses who played, we had twins who played Lily. So, you know, we'd switch them out. Ella and Jaden were the babies. And they were so heavy in that car seat carrier. And I remember getting a really strong right arm. And when I picked up Beckett for the first time, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this sensation. But the great thing about having babies on TV is when they start crying, someone sweeps in and takes them away from you.
Right.
And there's not that person in real life.
No, I know. I remember a distinct moment where I was like, is just me again?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Truly, truly. But it's been a joy. It's been so much fun.
In 2016, you starred in a one-man Broadway show called Fully Committed, where you play a reservationist at a New York restaurant and additionally 39 characters, from needy VIP guests to obnoxious chefs. And I read that you did a lot of research to be able to fully understand, including going to a lot of Michelin-starred restaurants. That was hard, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. It was the most expensive research I've ever done. The producers of the producers of the show paid for those dinners, and
yeah.
You know, they invited themselves to a few of them as well. So like, they're like, if we're going to pay for this, we might as well enjoy the food as well. What was really great about that, though, is we would go to we'd get to go see the reservation rooms in these really nice Michelin star restaurants, and the reservationists were always so excited to welcome us in, because usually in those circumstances, it's all about the kitchen and the front of the house staff, and the right. fact that we were really wanting to know about what goes on behind the scenes was special to them. And now, but the good thing is I have their numbers still. So like I can get into a lot of these restaurants.
Oh yeah.
By just calling them directly. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Isn't that part of their worst fear? And like you all also had to do it in preparation for the role, like calling restaurants and demanding last minute reservations yes. and canceling. Like
right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I know that there's now code. I actually have friends who work in the hotel industry as well. And there's little codes that go next to people's names. And like D2H is difficult to handle. Like, you know, so you know, you don't want those codes either. So I'm always very kind. And if they can't fit me in, I'm like, not a big deal. So I don't want the code next to my name.
Right. But speaking of all things food, you are the author of a new cookbook. It's coming out on March 9th called Food Between Friends that you co-wrote with your friend and chef Julie Tanous. Now, you and Julie have a food blog that has mm-hmm. you've been doing called Jessie and Julia since 2017. Is this cookbook an extension of that?
Yeah, really, it really is. We developed this blog. I met Julie at a dinner party. I've always wanted to go to culinary school, and I never had the time to because I had this thing called Modern Family that I had to go do every day. And so Julie would come over to my house, and she'd sort of teach me, you know, knife skills or like, you know, some of the inside information of what she learned at culinary school. And we started developing recipes together, and we put them on that blog, Julie and Jessie Cook. Don't ask us how we came up with that title. It was a stroke of genius. The book has become this sort of story about a friendship, and also the backgrounds of both Julie and my life. She's from Alabama. I'm from New Mexico. We love the food we grew up eating. So there's a lot of Southern food. There's a lot of New Mexican food, and there's also hybrids of both of those cuisines together. And we're so proud of it. It's definitely been something that I think I was always wanting to do, but I was scared to actually pull the trigger on it. So to have a publishing firm like Clarkson Potter, who has, you know, done so many great cookbooks, they do Ina Garten's cookbooks and Chrissy Teigen's cookbooks. And so the fact that they came to us and thought that we could do this was the, you know, the confidence push that we needed.
So you mentioned that you grew up in New Mexico. It influenced you, and there's recipes. What was one, at least, that you were like, I don't care what happens with this cookbook, this is going in?
Well, I'm obsessed with green chili chicken enchiladas. That's like my dish when I go back home to Albuquerque. But then we also wanted to elevate it. So it's the perfect example of how a lot of these recipes are hybrids of Julie's background and mine as well. We created a green chili chicken enchilada pot pie, which is delicious. And it's actually, instead of a pastry crust, we make crust out of the corn tortillas. So it still has that, you know, spirit of a green chili chicken enchilada.
Perfect. Yep. All right. Jessie, would you like an Ask Me Another challenge?
Why not? I mean, we're
okay,
here.
Excellent. We like to ask our guests before the show what they would like to play a game about, and you said New Mexico. So we have a game for you that is called New Mexico or New Mexino.
Boy, so we did that's this. A stretch.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a stretch.
I know.
Still workshopping it. We'll see. Yeah,
it's not copyrighted. It's not copyrighted yet. Just a quiz. So it's very simple. Jonathan and I will read you a statement, and you just have to tell us if it's true or false.
Okay.
Here we go. The northwest corner of New Mexico is the only place in the country where four states touch each other. Is that true or false?
That is true. The four corners.
That's right, the four corners. For a bonus point, can you name the other states?
Well, it's New Mexico for sure. It's correct. Colorado.
Yes.
Is it Arizona mm-hmm. and Utah?
Correct. Yes, it is.
Yay!
Yeah. Maybe you know this. I don't know if you've ever visited the Four Corners Monument that marks.
I think I've seen it. It's just like a cross in the like the dirt, right?
Yeah, that's right. The pavement. Right, the quadra point.
Yeah.
But I guess due to a surveying error, the marker was placed about a third of a mile away from where it's supposed to be.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So, but get this. In 1925, the Supreme Court ruled that the physical markers between New Mexico and Colorado are considered the actual borders, and they don't have to move the monument. I think that was right. The right way to go about it.
Good use of tax dollars, yes.
All right, here's another one. In southern New Mexico, hundreds of old Atari video game cartridges were found buried in a landfill. True or false?
I mean, it seems like it should be true.
It is absolutely true. Many of them were the game E.T.
Really?
Yeah, no, the video game industry crashed in the early 80s, and a bunch of unsold Atari cartridges were discarded and ultimately buried in this giant landfill.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And many of them were E.T., which was this game that was rushed into production to capitalize on the movie being popular, and it was not a great game.
Oh, really? Do you remember that game? I do Atari.
I do remember that game. I was a big Atari fan, and it was not. I mean, even at the time, it was like, this game is lame, and especially now looking back, there's like nothing happens. It's sort of like you're on a yellow screen and E.T. walks across. And then you're on a red screen, and then E.T. walks across again. It's very boring. It's not a lot of fun.
We could see why it's in the landfill.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. New Mexico is home to the world's largest peanut. True or false?
I'm going to say it's false.
That is false. However, New Mexico is home to the world's largest nut of a different sort. Do you know what it is?
Pistachio?
Yes. It's a 30-foot-tall pistachio, and it's an attraction at Pistachio Land.
Is New Mexico a big place for growing pistachios?
Apparently, honestly, that's news to me.
Okay, here's another one. In Breaking Bad, a frustrated Walter White throws a pizza onto the roof of his Albuquerque home. The scene was so popular that fans began traveling to the actual house from the scene to throw pizzas onto its roof. True or false?
That is 100% true, and I know this because Bryan Cranston, who is an acquaintance of ours, he actually directed an episode of Modern Family. He actually had to put out a statement begging people to stop doing it.
it's really terrible. I'm laughing, but I can't imagine how awful it would be to have a house and people just randomly came to throw pizzas on the roof.
Truly. I mean, you know, people visit the Modern Family homes all the time and take photos in front of them. I was like, that's got to be a little bit annoying for the homeowner, but, you know, at least they're not throwing food at the house.
All right, well, here's a bonus question for you. What was unusual about the delivery pizza that Walter White threw onto the roof?
Did it have a stuffed crust? I don't know.
I mean,
I love that answer. Ultimately, stuffed crust. It was unsliced. It was an unsliced pizza.
Oh.
And that was,
okay,
you know,
I see.
For production reasons. But the in-show explanation, which I think is pretty brilliant, is that the pizza place in the show doesn't slice their pizza so they can pass the savings on to you.
Very good.
Bake them and box them. All right, we got a couple more for you. For decades, a New Mexico ski resort hosted the annual World Championship Shovel Races, where participants race downhill using shovels as sleds. Is that true or false?
That seems like it's false.
I'm sorry, that is true.
Wow.
Yeah, so you would obviously put you would sit in the scoopy part, and then you would put the handle of the shovel between your legs, which makes me think you need a helmet for that.
You would think.
Kind of sledding.
And a solid core, I would imagine. You know, hold your legs up, right? That's hard.
Yeah.
How fast do you think you can go on a shovel?
Oh, at least 30 miles per hour. Higher, 50.
Yes. Bless you. I understand. I understand.
That's so terrifying you sneezed. I know. That's scary.
50 to 60. 50 to 60.
Oh, wow.
Scary. Very scary.
I mean, what happens when you wipe out on a shovel? When you are shoveling
At 50 miles per
with
hour.
A metal shovel. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the last question. The 1947 UFO crash in Roswell, New Mexico, was actually part of Project Mogul, a Soviet surveillance program involving dangling microphones from high-altitude balloons to hear potential nuclear test blasts. True or false?
I don't understand anything. You were speaking Russian to me for a second. I'm just going to say true.
You are right.
I have no idea.
Good guess. That is
it
a
was
good
just
guess.
Like
it's true.
It was like words just coming at me. I didn't know.
It's the mark of a good broadcaster when he speaks and you don't understand a single thing he's saying. There was the you know remember the UFO the famous Roswell UFO crash.
Sure.
It was actually a program with these high altitude balloons where they were hanging microphones, and that's why it was all hush hush is because they were spying on the Soviets. It was not because it was a UFO. I mean, supposedly.
It was right. There were microphones on balloons basically capturing some info, right? But what it was the very first podcast. We just didn't have the terminology.
It's
no,
really, no listeners. All right. And for a bonus point, this is just roughly. How many UFO sightings do you think were logged by the National UFO Reporting Center in 2020?
Well, we were all pretty bored that year at home, so I'm going to say a lot. Let's go with 45.
It's much, much higher.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Add two over... zeros and times by two almost.
Really?
7,000.
Oh, my 000. God.
Yeah, the organization actually wrote in a December update, and this is a quote, "We continue to receive a substantial number of prank calls during every day of operation, and we request once again that people not use our UFO telephone hotline for their childish amusement."
Wow.
And I think, too, it just shows that when we all are at home and don't have many things to do, we realize we have a phone. And we can do all kinds of fun things with the phone.
We can't throw pizzas on that lady's roof anymore, apparently.
Nope. No.
Well, thank you so much. Jesse Tyler Ferguson's new cookbook, Food Between Friends, written with Chef Julie Tanous, comes out on March 9th. Jesse, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by our staff, along with Ruth Morrison, Kara Weinberger, and senior writers Eric Feinstein and Karen Lurie, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Barber, Rumel Wood, and our intern, Sophie Hernandez Simeonitis. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor, Lisa, in collaboration with West Elm. Discover the new natural hybrid mattress, expertly crafted from natural latex and certified safe foams, designed with your health and the planet in mind. Visit leesa.com to learn more.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.